Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, I want to talk to you tonight about the names of God, and we're going to start talking in the Old Testament. I hope we get through all these. I don't know that we will. There's a lot of them, and there's a lot to say about them, but all we can do is start and see where we get, right? So that's what we're going to do, because we don't have next Wednesday night because we have the Christmas party, but the week after that, we'll just pick up wherever we leave off, and we'll keep going. And I think it's interesting because tonight, Pastor Jeff was explaining the definition of the word hallelujah, where the end of it meaning Yahweh, and then Becky was singing Abba, which is a New Testament name for God as Father, and it's in the New Testament. And this past Sunday, we were singing the song Jehovah. It says, Jehovah Nisi fights my fight your battles. Jehovah, you know, Rapha is your peace. Jehovah Jireh provides for you. Jehovah Shalom, you know, all the different names of God. And I've been thinking about the names of God a lot lately and how we need to not just know them, but use them and declare them in our life. There's so much power because in the Old Testament, a name was not just a means to identify yourself. Your name was your identity itself. And so you didn't just say, I am Spencer, when, you know, my family's big on names, and I would encourage you, especially any young people that would be here tonight, name your children with purpose. Don't just name them because it sounds cool or because it's a trendy name. We're very intentional about seeking God about the name of our children. And my name is Gregory Spencer DeVries. And Gregory means vigilant watchman. And Spencer means dispenser of gifts. And see, because I know that, there was actually a time in my life, I was about 9 years old, and we went to a church in Indiana, in West Bend, Indiana. And this gentleman, he was praying over my family. I don't even know why I'm telling y'all this. He was praying over my family, and he got to me, and he took a mint out of his pocket, kind of like one of these. But y'all remember Cert mints? Y'all remember those? They taste nasty, but they got the job done. They would really give you some fresh breath. He pulled out a Cert mint, and he said, "Young man, you have a gift." And he said, "Hang on." He reached in his pocket and he pulled out a whole roll. You remember how they come in silver foil wrapping? He said, "No, you don't have a gift. You have many gifts. And God's going to use you to dispense those gifts." He didn't know my name or the meaning of my name. He said, "God is going to use you to dispense those gifts to others." And my parents are just weeping. Of course, I'm nine. I'm just like, sweet, I get a whole roll of mints. I'm going to eat all these things by the time we get back to the hotel. You know what I'm talking about? And I think I tried later in the, if I remember right, we were in the hot tub and I was going to eat them. My parents were like, no, we're keeping those mints. But they named me with intention and purpose, and then God confirmed my name through a prophetic word. And so names are so important to God. If they weren't, why did he change Abram from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah, from Saul to Paul, from, you know, Peter was Cephas, and, you know, and he became, or he was Simon, he became Peter. Names mean a lot to God, and especially his name. And so I want to look at his name tonight. In fact, in Exodus chapter 3, you don't have to turn there just yet. We're going to go to, there's going to be a lot of scripture tonight. My goal is to highlight every name of God in the Old Testament that I found in my study. You may come up to me later and say, "Hey, have you ever heard of this in Zephaniah? Here's a name of God." You know, I'm not saying I've got all of them. These are the ones that I found in my study that we're going to look at. But in Exodus chapter 3, when God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush and he called him to return to Egypt and deliver his children out of bondage, it says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, this is how important names were in the Bible. Then Moses said to God, so God has called him. He's shown him the burning bush. Moses has turned aside to see it. God has called to him. And Moses says, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me,' you know what they're going to say to me? 'What's his name?'" That's what they're going to want to know. They're not going to want to know about the burning bush. They're not going to want to know, where you been for 40 years, Moses? What's going on in your life? They're going to want to know, you say you come from God. If you come from God, what's his name? Because that'll tell us who he is. Because your name doesn't just give or reveal your introduction. It shows the very identity of who you are. And God says to Moses in verse 14, I am who I am, he said. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So this is the first name of God that I want to reveal to you. And this isn't the first one in Scripture, but I am. One of his names is simply, I am. And it's actually the Hebrew word Hayah. And it means come to pass, break, or all together. So he pronounced, I am, would be one of his names. And he says this. He says, let's continue reading. I am who I am, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Verse 15, moreover, the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So that was God's declaration about his name. However, this is not his only name. This is a name that he revealed to Moses at the burning bush, but he is not. The reason that God has so many names is because as names represent your identity, God's identity is not limited. It's in fact unlimited. He can do whatever, he can do however, he is all powerful. And so before we study the names of God themselves, I want to look at what the word says, or some scriptures of what the word says about the name of God. Psalm chapter 148 verse 13 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the heaven and above the earth and heaven. And so David is literally saying to us, you should praise his name. Why? Because when you praise his name, you're praising him, because his name is who he is. So he says, praise the name. And he said that word praise means celebrate. We should celebrate the name of God. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That's why I don't say or allow my children to say, oh my G-O-D, or, you know, take the name of Jesus Christ in vain. I don't entertain myself, and I'm not judging anybody tonight. I don't entertain myself with movies that have profanity, that use the Lord's name in vain. That's a line that is drawn, because he said, I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain. And so it's important that we respect and revere and honor the name of God. So the word exalted, where it says his name alone is exalted, it means to be excellent or to be set on high. Only his name is excellent and set on high. In fact, this is echoed in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. That word excellent means majestic, lordly, great. Your name is lordly. It's when something is lordly, that means that it has power or dominion over something else. His name is a name of power. Amen? And so Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. That word safe means inaccessibly high. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you are putting yourself out of reach of destruction or of the enemy and his plan and his purpose for your life. It's inaccessibly high. It's like, you know, if you were to climb to the highest mountain and a flood would not be able to reach you there. That's the power that the name of God has for us. That he, you know, it's like if you have children in the house and they're always grabbing stuff, you'll put stuff maybe on top of the refrigerator or up on the cabinet because you're getting it what? Out of reach of their hands. And when we run to the name of the Lord, we are getting ourselves, we become inaccessibly high to the enemy where he can't get to us. So calling on his name lifts you out of the reach of the enemy. His name's a weapon, it's a shield. You know what else I love about his name? Romans 10, verse 13. For as many call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm so thankful for this truth in his life, because his name is not just for the Jew. It's not just for the Gentile. It's not just for the American. It's not just for the Baptist, for the Pentecostal. It's not just for the white or for the black. He said, whoever calls upon his name shall be saved. So his name brings us into salvation. But I believe that this being saved is not limited to salvation. I believe that this is in reference to salvation. But I believe that when we call upon his mighty name, miraculous things happen. Powerful things happen. That when we call out the name of God, and when we call out the name of Jesus, that is a name that's above, higher and better than any other name, according to what Paul wrote to the Philippians. But I believe that this, that when we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. It's not just for salvation, but it's for in any season. It's for in any situation. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. Let me debrief you concerning my position on this matter, because you may say, well, this is talking about salvation. I would agree with you. For as many as whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is talking about salvation. But we have instances in the Bible when people called out to Jesus and they called him by name and he brought he saved them from their situation. Let me give you an example. In the book of Matthew, chapter 14, the disciples are in the boat. The wind is raging. The waves are beating the side of the boat. Jesus has stayed on the other side to pray. And the Bible says that in the third watch of the night, he came walking upon the water. And he supposed, the book of Mark gives us more detail. Mark tells us he was going to walk past them. He wasn't even going to stop and say hello to the disciples in the boat. He was just going to go ahead and go to the other side. But they saw him. And when they saw him, they began to let their hearts be filled with terror. They were freaked out. They said, it's a ghost. And Peter said, and Jesus said, whoa, don't worry, it's me. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you and I'll walk on the water. You know the story. Peter got out of the boat. He began to walk on the water. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he began to fear and he sank. What did he say? Lord, save me. Jesus reached out his hand in that very instant and pulled him back up and he saved him. Now, Peter wasn't just saved spiritually. Peter was saved physically in that moment. When you call upon the name of the Lord, because what did he say? He did not just say Jesus. Now listen, Jesus is a great name, but do you know what makes the name of Jesus so powerful? The fact that Christ comes after it. Because Jesus was a very common name in Hebrew households. But when you say Jesus the Christ, that's why when Peter said, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Now we're getting into the New Testament. We'll wait. We'll save that for later. But Peter cried out, Lord, save me. What did he do? He saved him. Sometimes the wind and the waves of life, they're going to beat you up. They're going to drag you down. They're going to try to take you out. You need to know, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower that I can run to, and it will get me inaccessibly high out of the reach of the wind and the waves and the hand of the enemy that seeks so greatly to devour me. Listen, y'all, the devil is still roaming around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. So we need to know I can run to the name of God. Some people, they stay beat down and they stay frustrated and always attacked by the enemy because they don't know the power of his name. I want you to know tonight that you can call upon the name of the Lord. There's power in it. And so I want to look at the Old Testament names of God tonight. So let's start with El Shaddai. We should have slides for these. El Shaddai. El Shaddai means all-sufficient one, Lord God Almighty. Now, we're going to cover a few names that have El in them. And in Hebrew, El means God. So anywhere that you see El, it means God. But the word Shaddai is what gives us Almighty. So he is God Almighty. What does that mean? It should be self-explanatory. That means he has all might. He has all power. There is nothing our God cannot do. One of my favorite scriptures is in the book of Psalms. It says, he is the Lord. He does whatever he pleases. Whatever he wants to do, he does, because he's almighty. There is nothing that God looks at and feels overwhelmed by his incapability. He's never felt incapable. He's strong, he's mighty, he's powerful. And so when we call him El Shaddai, we're identifying you are the God that holds all might, all power. There is nothing that you cannot do. There are seven references. to God as El Shaddai in the Bible. 48 times it just references Shaddai, where it just says Almighty. Can you go to the next? I've got a scripture for each of these. This is the first place that El Shaddai is mentioned in scripture. Genesis 17, 1 and 2. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai. He revealed himself to Moses, and when he, or to Abraham, excuse me, he did to Moses too, but we're talking about Abraham right now. And when he showed up to Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years old, he already knew God, but this is what I love about God. Abraham had, or he was still Abraham at this point, he'd already been walking with God for years, and God still introduced himself as if he was a new, you know, person for Abram to meet, because he wanted him to see a new perspective of himself. He said, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between you, me and you, and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. How can God make that kind of promise? Because he is El Shaddai. He is Almighty. He doesn't just make promises, he keeps promises. He can say to Abram, I will bless you greatly. And you know what he did? He blessed Abraham greatly. He changed him from Abram to Abraham because he is El Shaddai. The second name we're going to look at is El Elyon. El Elyon means the God Most High. We would just say God Most High. There's 28 references of El Elyon in the Old Testament. 19 of them are in the Psalms. You know why? Because the Psalms are songs and prayers of praise to God. And the psalmist would say, you, O God, are El Elyon. You are Most High, meaning nobody can get to the place where you are. No one can reach you. Nobody can climb that high. Nobody can fly that high. Nobody can be as great or as awesome as you are. You are great and you are high. Psalm 57 verse 2 is the scripture we're going to look at for this. It says, I will cry out to El Elyon, to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. This would be a great scripture to declare over your life. I will cry out to El Elyon. Why? Because he's the God who performs all things for me. I can trust in him. I know that he is higher than the problems that I'm facing. I know that he is higher than the depression that I'm battling. I know that he's higher than the issues that we're dealing with that sometimes we get overwhelmed with. And if we took a step back and we looked at it, we'd realize how trivial they really are, because we know he's El Shaddai. He's El Elyon. I don't have to fret. I don't have to worry about this. There may be things that are ruining and ruling your life right now, and you need to remind yourself, I serve El Elyon. He's higher than anything that I'm facing. Amen. The third one is Adonai. Adonai means Lord or Master, but this is actually a parallel name with Jehovah or Yahweh. What do I mean by that? I mean that when scripture was written down and it was transcribed in the Old Testament through years and years and years, you would find in certain passages of scripture, Adonai was used, and in some Jehovah or Yahweh was used. It was a parallel name that you could use with Yahweh or Jehovah. But in the Bible as we know it, there are 434 references to him being Lord or Master. Most of them are used in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, Ezekiel referred to God as Adonai over 200 times, as Lord and as Master. The scripture reference that I want to give to you is Genesis 18, 27 through 28. Now, obviously, there's 434 references, so we could spend all night just talking about Adonai, but I want to give you one of every of these names where you can see them in scripture, so that hopefully you can understand the context in which the name of God was used by the person that was calling upon him, or when God was revealing himself to people, so that you understand the power and the weight of it. And anyway, the Bible is more accurate, more true, and more powerful than what I could say anyway. So let's look at Genesis 18, 27, 28. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to Adonai. Suppose there were five less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of five? You probably are familiar with this story. Abraham is interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah because his nephew Lot has pitched his tent and has actually begun to dwell in the city. And when Abraham, he's pleading with God, and he's interceding on behalf in looking for if there were this many righteous, if there were this many righteous. But as he approached God and he was beseeching God to change the outcome of a situation, he addressed him as Adonai, Master, Lord. Why is that important? Because when we beseech God to change a situation, we should come to him saying, "You're Lord, you're Master. You get to do whatever you want to do, however you want." Just like when Jesus was in the garden, he said, "If it's possible, would you let this cup pass from me? But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." That's why Abraham addressed the Lord as Adonai. He was saying, "You're the master, but if it's possible, would you do this?" And God relented. He said, "Yeah, if there was this many righteous, I would do. I would not. I would spare it." And it went down, I think he got all the way down to like five people. But Adonai means Lord or Master. The next one is the biggest one. It's Yahweh or Jehovah. Yahweh and Jehovah are interchangeable. They both mean simply Lord. It would kind of be like saying dad or father, you know. Normal people say dad, rich people say father, right? But the name Jehovah or Yahweh, we could spend all night talking about this, but they didn't have vowels in the original Hebrew, and so the pronunciation got confused, and sometimes they wouldn't even say it because they didn't want to take his name in vain and out of respect, and so they took certain words out, and so or certain letters out, consonants out, and it made it very confusing. But as best we know, it was either Jehovah or Yahweh, and they're kind of interchangeable. They're both in the Bible, and so this name signifies the omnipotence of God. It signifies he holds all power. He's the Lord over the earth. He's the Lord over his people. There are 6,519 references to Yahweh or Jehovah in the Old Testament alone. Now, there's a few words like and to that appear more, but as far as like words, it's the most used in all of the Old Testament. Yahweh or Jehovah. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time covering this because there are many tags to this name that either God revealed himself as or people called God as Jehovah, and then a name that would, but there are instances, tons of them, where he's just Jehovah or just Yahweh. But we're going to look at some of the other names tonight. We're going to look first at Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord is my banner. Or I like this one right here. The Lord is my miracle. The Lord is my miracle. You need to know to call on Jehovah Nissi when you need a miracle. You know, if you suffered, God forbid, a heart attack, you wouldn't call the veterinarian. If you suffered, you know, a toothache, you wouldn't call the oncologist. If you suffered a toothache, you'd call the dentist. If you suffered a heart attack, you'd probably go to the emergency room, right? You wouldn't go to the veterinarian. And I'm not saying that God won't hear you if you don't call upon him properly, but I do know that when we know who God is and we call upon him as Jehovah Nissi, and we declare, because there's life and death in the power of the tongue, and we declare, "God, you are Jehovah Nissi. You are my miracle." That he gave us these names to call upon and this knowledge to be able to rely upon him and to build our faith. Because we do know this, God responds to faith. And when we know he's Jehovah Nissi, that gives us faith to believe he is Jehovah, the Lord, my miracle. And in fact, Jehovah Nissi is a very famous name for God. In fact, that's one of the names that we sang on Sunday morning, Jehovah Nissi fights my battles. But there's only one reference to Jehovah Nissi in all the Bible. And it's in Exodus, the 17th chapter and the 15th verse. Because the Lord had prevailed over the people of Amalek and given the Israelites the victory in the battle. This is the story where Moses needed his hands to be held up by Aaron and Hur. And as long as his hands were up, Joshua would prevail in battle. But when his hands came down, then the Amalekites would begin to prevail in battle. And so they put a stone under Moses and then they held up his arms and God prevailed. And after God had won the victory over Amalek, Moses, in Exodus chapter 17, he built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." He built that altar and he named the altar Jehovah Nissi, because God had been their banner. He had been their miracle. He had won the battle over their enemies. And so he is Jehovah Nissi. The next one is Jehovah Rohi. It means "the Lord my shepherd." And it symbolizes and it shows us that as a shepherd watches over a flock, feeding them, guiding them, leading them through pastures and by quiet streams, so does God his children. There's actually four references to Jehovah Rohi in the Old Testament. They're Genesis 48:15, Genesis 49:24, Psalm 23, which we know, "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and Psalm chapter 80, verse 1. I want to show you Psalm 80, verse 1. It says, "Give ear, O Jehovah Rohi," or "O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth." So God is our shepherd. We just did a series a couple weeks to a couple months ago on Psalm 23. And so if you need more explanation of who God is, as Jehovah Shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, go listen to that, because we're going to go to the next one right now. There's a lot of these, isn't there? And we've still got some to go here. So that's why I'm kind of moving through these quickly. We honestly could probably do 1 week on each of these names, and we may do that, but I want to encourage you to go and study these names out on your own. That's why I'm giving you some scripture references, is take time and maybe take one a week or one a day and just read these scriptures and get to know God through his name. Get to know who he is. The next one is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means "the Lord who heals." The word Rapha in Hebrew, obviously Jehovah is Lord, but the word Rapha means to restore or to make healthful. That's an interesting word, isn't it? But basically it's saying he will make you full of health in your mind, in your body, in your spirit. There's one reference to Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament. It's Exodus chapter 15, 26. It says, "He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring any of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah Rapha." I love it when God declares his name. It's awesome when people, like when Moses said he's Jehovah Nissi, but when God says, "I am Jehovah Rapha," you know for a fact he is the God who heals. He is the God that will make you full of health. And I love that when it says Rapha, it doesn't just mean health. It means to restore. He's the God who restores you to where you need to be. He will restore you physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, any shape, form, or fashion. He is the God who heals. He declared it himself. Jehovah Shammah means "the Lord is there." You need to write this. I'm going to write this somewhere in my house. Jehovah Shammah. Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. I don't know. I'm from Alabama. I'm doing the very best that I possibly can. Thank you. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. You know what this speaks of? The faithfulness of God. That he's there. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us. He hasn't forsaken us. It says in Ezekiel, there's one reference to Jehovah Shammah. It's in Ezekiel 48, 35. "All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that day shall be," and this is speaking of Jerusalem, "Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there." You know, in Ezekiel, it can be very easy to kind of begin to skim and skip through, because it can get very tedious to read, especially when in this passage, when, you know, 1,000 cubits here, 1,000 cubits there. But if you did, you'd miss the fact that God declared one of his names. And if God said his name, even though there may only be one reference, it does not change who he is, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he was Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, he's Jehovah Shammah for us. He's faithful. And so I would encourage you, write this on your home somewhere, because don't you want God to be in your home? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. All right, the next one is Jehovah Sitkanu. Jehovah Sitkanu means "the Lord, our righteousness." There's two references to Jehovah Sitkanu, which is interesting, because there's much talk of his righteousness versus our righteousness, both in the Old and in the New Testament. And God declares, "I am righteousness." It doesn't mean the Lord is righteous. It means the Lord our righteousness. Now, he's righteous, but he's our righteousness. The only righteousness that we could ever have is his. And the only sin that he ever had was ours. I love that quote. I don't know who said it, but it's a great one. I just always like to say, I don't ever want someone to think I'm like plagiarizing and I'm stealing their quote. I did not come up with that, but it is true. I want to read to you Jeremiah 23:6, Jehovah Sitkanu. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise a date to David, a branch of righteousness. This is a prophecy of Jesus. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is the name by which he will be called. I lost that last part of that scripture. I didn't quote it. Jehovah Sitkanu is what it's supposed to be. Let me go because do you have it up there? No. Because if I missed it in here, I probably missed it in there. So let me go and read it to you. Jeremiah 23:16. 5 and 6. Thank you. That's why it wasn't there when I looked. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness, or in Hebrew, Jehovah Sitkanu. So it's a prophecy that one of Jesus' names would be Jehovah Sitkanu, but it is in the Old Testament. Okay, the next one is Jehovah Mikodishkim. Okay, that's a mouthful, but it's a good meaning. It means the Lord who sanctifies you. There's two references to this name. And it is in Exodus 31:13 and Leviticus 20:8. I want to read to you Exodus 31:13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Or in Hebrew, I am Jehovah Mikodishkim. And so God reveals himself as he's the one who sanctifies us. To sanctify would be to set apart, to cleanse, and to not just save from, but to set apart to something. And he is Jehovah who sanctifies us. Okay, we're out of the Jehovah dash names. We're going to talk about El Olam. El Olam is the everlasting God. It's that proves that God has no beginning, God has no end. He is everlasting. The word Olam means forever, eternity. I told you at the beginning, El means God, so it means God forever, or God everlasting. There's three references. Genesis 21:33, Jeremiah 10:10, Isaiah 26:4 is the reference we're going to look at. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength, or in El Olam is everlasting strength. All right, we've got 4 or 5 more. I'm trying to go through these kind of quickly. The next one is Elohim. Elohim means judge or creator. It's the first name of God in the Bible. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, setting him up as judge of the earth. Setting him up as the creator of the earth. But this word Elohim is also in Hebrew closely related with the word Eloah, which means fear. So this is where we get a lot of references of the fear of the Lord. Because there's actually over 2,000 references to God as Elohim in the Old Testament. And so it's up there with Jehovah Yahweh and Adonai as the most referenced names of God in the Old Testament. And so realizing that because he's judge, he's to be feared. And we could, we don't talk or think enough, I don't think, about the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is, no matter how long you walk with God, you should always have fear and reverence of the Lord, because he is Elohim. He is the creator. He is the judge. All right, the next one is Kana. And it means jealous. Literally, that's all it means. Jealous. And you know what's interesting? It's for some of these names, like Jehovah Nisi, you know, there's only one. Some of them, there's two, there's three. There's actually six references of God just being called jealous. Just that being his name. He's jealous. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Now you may say, oh, well, it's saying that his name is jealous, like his name. No, jealous is capitalized. Look at it. Well, they're all caps up there. Go look at it in your Bible. Exodus 34. And actually, I like this color combo. Someone should start a golf tournament with this kind of color scheme. I don't know who came up with this, but maybe next week will be blue and orange. I don't know. But I get to pick the colors. And so you don't know how many times, Trevor, I've almost made blue and orange graphics for Sunday mornings. I'm like, I don't want to distract people and we stink, so I won't do it. But hey, if we have a good season next year, y'all be ready. Blue and orange every single Sunday, all my sermon graphics. All right. I got to keep you awake. The next one is Jehovah Jireh. Everybody knows this one, right? The Lord will provide. And in fact, can I get on a soapbox for a moment? You know, there's a popular song, Jireh, You Are Enough. You know why I don't like that song? Because there's no Jehovah in it. It's just saying provider, provider. You know what gives it power? Jehovah. He's Jehovah. He's the Lord who will provide. You know, anybody can be your provider. I want Jehovah as my provider. Not that you shouldn't listen to that song. You just think about that next time you do. And there's only one reference to Jehovah Jireh in the Old Testament. It's Genesis 22:14, and Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. It's when he took his son, his only son, according to God, on top of the mountain in Genesis 22 and sought to sacrifice him under the instruction of the Lord, but God provided a ram in the thicket, and Abraham said, you are Jehovah Jireh. All right, the next one. I've only got two more. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. There's only one reference to Jehovah Shalom in the Old Testament. Now, there's many references to Shalom because it means peace. Actually, it means more than that. The beauty of the Hebrew language is so much deeper than our language. It doesn't just mean peace. It doesn't just mean the absence of problem. It means may God drive out your enemies from before you. And there's so much more to that, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. The Lord is peace. There's one reference, Judges 6:24. Gideon is the one that named God Jehovah Shalom. It says in Judges 6:24, so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. To this day, it is still there in Ophrah. Not Oprah, of the Abizrites. Here's what's interesting to me about this name, is Gideon built this altar and declared this of God before he fought the Midianites, before he ever went and they broke their clay pots and they revealed their fire and they lifted their voices. He declared before he ever fought a battle, my God is the God of peace. He's the Lord of peace. And so even when he was about to face the most daunting experience of his life, he already knew God to be Shalom, to be his peace. All right, the last one is Jehovah Sabaoth, and it doesn't mean Sabbath. It means the Lord of hosts, and this is actually next to Adonai, Jehovah, Yahweh, and Elohim, the most referenced name of God in the Old Testament, and it is the Lord of hosts. 1 Samuel 1:11. This is speaking of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. She made a vow and said, O Jehovah Sabaoth, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but you will give your maidservant a male child, then I shall give him to the Lord, to Jehovah, to Yahweh, all the days of my life, and no razor shall come upon his head. She prayed to the Lord of hosts. Like I said, there's 286 references to this name, and you'll find it many times. In fact, if you read the New Living Translation, a lot of times it will say the Lord of hosts, because a lot of times it will use the actual name of God, which I like and I think is great. But a lot of times in the prophets, it will say the Lord of hosts says this. What does that mean? The Lord of the host of heaven's armies. The God who has all of heaven at his disposal is basically what it's saying. And that's who she was praying to. Think about that next time you pray. I'm praying to the Lord who has all of heaven's hosts at his disposal. and he will never lack or not have what it is that I need. He will never say, I'm sorry, I just don't have it right now. He's always sufficient. Amen? All right, stand to your feet with me. I know that was a lot of scriptures, a lot of teaching. But he's sufficient. He is. He is Adonai. He is El Shaddai. He is almighty. In fact, would you just close your eyes and lift your hand, God, we declare your name tonight, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Adonai, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our shepherd, the Lord the host, the Lord of the host of heaven's armies, the Lord our peace. God, we look to you tonight. We thank you that these are not just names, these are revelations of your character. And help us to remember you are the God who provides. You are the God who heals. You are still Jehovah Rapha. You are still Jehovah Shalom. You are still Elohim. You're still the God that can do what no one else can do. You're still the Lord, my miracle. And so, Father, we look to you tonight and we say thank you so much for being who you said that you are. God, I've seen you and known you to be all of these names that we've read tonight. And I thank you that you're not done. You've not stopped. You've not retired or hung it up. But you are still faithful today. Just as the one name in Jeremiah means the Lord is there. God, we say the Lord is here. We declare this house to be your house, the place where your glory dwells, this temple. Put your hand on your heart right now. God, let our lives be where you dwell. You said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you will build for me? God, we say this, we thank you that we get to be called the temple of the Holy Ghost. And would you dwell in us and lead us and guide us in everything that we do so that we can give glory and honor to you. We love you tonight in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. May you know him to be Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Jireh. May you know him to be Kana, jealous over you. Elohim, El Olam, Jehovah Mekodishkim, Jehovah Sitkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Nisi, Yahweh, Adonai, El Elyon, El Shaddai, and Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the hosts of heaven's armies. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Be blessed. We hope to see you Sunday morning.